Let's see here. I'm going to try to show you all something on the screen using my computer. Hopefully everything will stay together here as we get ready to do this. I'm going to try to swap this over. Hopefully it'll show up there. All right, what I want to show you up on the screen are a few Bible reading plans, because we've been discussing this, and I ran across these the other day, and actually they should be in your inbox now. But I sent them out a little while ago. Here's the first one that I'll show you. And this Bible reading plan is, and this is from Into Thy Word, it's through the Bible reading guide. And you see this week one, and then it tells you something to do each day of the week, which passage to read. And this one takes you directly through the Bible. What I'm doing is putting these out there for you to equip you to be able to read the Word of God if you choose to do so in a orderly fashion in 2018. The second one is a chronological Bible reading plan. I think that Ken gave in his testimony that he had read through the chronological Bible this year, and Jackie, I'm pretty sure you did as well. Is that correct? So this is what this does is it takes you through the Bible in the order of events in which things actually occurred, or most likely occurred. So you see the dates there, January, all the way through the year, and it tells you exactly what you're supposed to read each day. Real quick, a testimony from the audience. What is a benefit of reading the Bible chronologically? Anybody who's done that before, just shout it out. What's a benefit of reading through the Bible chronologically? All right, so you're seeing where like the Psalms fit into the history books, because David wrote many of the Psalms, so those Psalms actually happened during his life in 2 Samuel. So that's when they were written, not later on after the historical books, but during the historical books. The next one is another reading the Bible in a chronological order, and this one breaks it down by the week. It's just a different order, and it walks you through the various passages that you can read there. And then this is read through the Bible, a weekly chart. And this one's kind of bunched up. But what this does is week one, and it gives you a reading from Genesis, Matthew, Psalms, and Proverbs. Now, I've actually been very critical of this type of plan in the past, because it doesn't work well for me. But as I was reading some of what I found in this, I actually see the benefit of it in this. You know, when you're reading straight through the Bible and you get to Leviticus, you want to like just bang your head against the wall, right? The encouraging thing about breaking it up is it keeps you from getting discouraged, because you're not saturated in Leviticus for 2 weeks and you like quit, or Numbers, and then you just want to quit. But you get a little bit of Leviticus and then you can go and read in Mark. Praise the Lord, I understand a little bit about what's going on here. And then you read a psalm, and then you read a proverb. So I'm going to have to stop being hard on these plans, because I see the benefit in them now. Here, let's see. Trying to get that one to scroll down. So this is a Bible reading chart divided up into daily Old Testament and New Testament readings. Along with, in the middle of the day, you have reading from Psalms, as you can hopefully see that there. Here, this is a pretty cool one, especially for new believers. If you're a new believer, this one's called A 31-Day Encounter with Jesus. Or maybe you're someone who is searching and wanting to learn more about the Lord. This is A 31-Day Encounter with Jesus, and this reading will give you particular passages in the Bible to look up, and then you see the topic that is hidden behind that passage from which you can learn about. And this gives you a pretty good picture of who Jesus Christ is from all of Scripture. So, 31-day encounter with Jesus. And then the last one here is a weekly Bible reading chart from the different genres in the Bible. And again, this is one of those that's going to be great for keeping you from getting discouraged. It begins on Sunday with Matthew, then Genesis, Joshua, Psalms, Job, Isaiah, Romans. And it starts back on the next Sunday with Matthew again. So this could be a great plan, one for you if you chose to do so. This one is called, this is the last one actually, the Summer New Testament Bible Reading Plan. It doesn't have to be done in the summer, but this has all of the New Testament, all 260 chapters, and you can go through and mark off what you've read, and that kind of helps you keep up with your progress. I've made about five copies of each of these plans. One of them I only made three copies, but five copies of each of these plans that are back there on the table, a little white table in the back. If you want to get your hands on one of those today, please do so, or you can look at them and see what they're like. But as I said, I also sent these out to you all via email, and they should be in your inbox. If you're not getting email from me, then please let me know. We need to correct that. I'm going to lay this down back here and get rid of the blue screen. I'd like to ask a couple ladies to come up to the front now, if they can, and that would be Jonna and Sherry Swinney. Jonna Davis and Sherry Swinney, can y'all come on up to the front? I said that we've had three testimonies concerning Scripture reading. And as I began to think about our congregation, I thought, who are the busiest people in our congregation? And for some reason, I chose these two ladies. Y'all come on up here. That'd be fine. Here you go, Sherry. Here's a microphone. Jonna. Now, do y'all have any idea why they're the busiest people in the congregation? Really, going to kind of do a little bit of an interview with Sherry and with Jonna, and we haven't gone through this really at all. But wanted to ask you all: Do you both try to have some sort of Bible reading plan going through the year? I'm sure y'all read through the Bible every single year. Is that? No, that's not correct. But that's not the idea either. It's not really the idea.
I read the Bible every year. Okay, not the whole thing necessarily.
And that's the idea, that we're reading the Bible, that we're doing something, that we have Bible intake. So, Sherry, can you tell a little bit about how you do that, how you've done that in the past?
There have been some years in the past where I've read the entire Bible in a year, but now, most recently, it's choose a plan and I read that, whether it's reading my Bible or reading it on my Bible app or listening to it from my Bible app. Those are the ways that I get that and am able to complete some plan that I've chosen.
So can you tell kind of what's your current plan that you've been working on?
Well, in 2016, I started a plan that was written out to be a plan to read through the Bible in a year, and I divided it up into 2 years.
Okay.
So I'm completing that.
All right. Jonna, can you tell a little bit about what you do as far as Bible intake?
I have a plan it's one of Eric's rebellious plans, where it goes through what you read. It's actually a plan that...
I'm for it now.
Good. Woo!
I've repented.
It divides the Bible up into 10 sections, and the idea is that you read 10 chapters in a day, but there was a time when I could do that. This is not that season. And so I just read as much as I can, and then I just pick up where I go. But it divides it where you read some in Matthew, some in the Old Testament. You're going through the Old Testament. You're going through each section of the Bible, and so you're not stuck in, like, the bad, boring order parts that are hard to get through. But you're always reading through Psalms and Proverbs, and you're always reading through Acts, and then some of the New Testaments and the Old Testament. So I really enjoy that. And so I go through that. For the most part. And then sometimes when we're doing like when we did the James Bible study, I had to kind of put that on hold, and then I focus on that. And then I just pick back up where I left off and keep going that way.
Okay. Do y'all ever fall behind in your Bible reading plan?
Yes. Of course.
What do you do? What do you do when you fall behind? Do you just quit? Or can you say anything to us that would be helpful to help us when we fall behind?
When I fall behind, there have been times when I'd go for a walk in my neighborhood and I get my earbuds and listen to it on my app. And so I may be walking for 30 minutes and get 10 chapters in or something.
Okay. So just listening to it, doing that. Good.
Yeah, I would say that I give myself a lot of grace because I'm in this stage of life where hours are not in abundance, it seems like. And so there are many mornings. I have to do it first thing in the morning or it doesn't happen. And so myself, I love Jesus more than sleep because as anybody, we're all adults, we're all tired, I'm sure, right? it's not just me, but I just make sure I get up and just wherever I left off, just pick back up and not try to kick myself when I'm down, because otherwise I would just probably quit.
Good. I think that's good information or advice from both of you. One, change up the monotony, do something different, do something to get yourself kick-started back, and then the other is give yourself grace.
I like that idea of leaving the house and walking for a long way on some days. I might take that one.
All right. So y'all can benefit from each other.
Y'all pray for my children in those hours.
All right. Good deal. Well, anything else as far as testimony goes about scripture reading from either one of you?
It's worth it, because I would say that 9 times out of 10, when I do my devotional in the morning, when I'm reading a devotional, New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp, which is really good. In addition to doing a little reading, but 9 times out of 10, God uses that at some point in my day. Like, literally, I'll leave my room after I've had my devotion, and my kids will come up to me with a problem, and I will say, I just read this in the Bible this morning, how to solve this problem. And God gives, it's sweet how God gives me wisdom on how to handle those situations with my children. And on the days that I don't have a Bible reading in the morning, it's obvious in how I parent, and I don't parent very lovingly those days. So, which makes me want to get in the Word more, because I know that it's beneficial, even though it can be hard to make myself get out of bed and do it. But I love Jesus more than sleep.
That's good. Good reminder. Anything else? So Sherry has 6 children, and Jonna has 8 children. So they are busy moms, and they both homeschool. So thank you all for sharing with us. Let's give them a round. Up here on the table, you'll find several different Bibles. Some of you have heard talk about a chronological Bible or a study Bible. There are study Bibles here. These first two are study Bibles. You're welcome to come up and fill these, take a look at them. The first one is more getting into the languages and some of the some about why words are translated various ways. This is a very good Bible, the NET Bible, but the ESV study Bible has tons of info in it. And there are lots of other study Bibles out there. This happened to be one of the ones that I had in my office. And then these next two, the MacArthur Daily Bible gives you a daily scripture reading. It's one of those that breaks it up with different readings each day. And then the Daily Walk Bible is a daily Bible. This one, the Daily Bible, is a chronological Bible. So the third one from your right side is the chronological Bible and walks you through the Bible in chronological order. There's a Bible for men and women for marriage here. There's a New King James note-taking Bible where it has large margins. You can take notes and write things down as you're reading through or studying the Bible. And then this last one is just a Bible to finish off the set, the Holman Christian Standard Version of the Bible. There's lots of different translations out there. Lots of variety options for us to choose from. The main thing is that we are in God's Word. I do not love you less if you don't read through the Bible next year. I do not love you less. Okay? I love you. Whether you read through the Bible or whether you read the Bible at all, I love you. But the reality is, the reason I love you is because I want you, I'm encouraging you to read God's Word. Whether you read the whole thing or not doesn't matter, but that we are in the Word of God and studying it is important. I want to talk to you a little bit about why that's so important this morning in our last few minutes together. I share with you a message that is, you know, entitled The Book of Books, because that in reality, that's what the Word of God is. It is the book of books. These books that I have up here on this table is a book like no other book, because this book, these books that are on this table, it's alive. There's no other book that you're going to put in my hand and you can say, here, this book is alive. But this one is. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's exactly what the Word of God says about itself in that regard. So, first of all, and I'm going to conclude this message tonight, but I want to see point number one. We don't have any handouts today whatsoever. Let's listen and try to take this in. That the Bible speaks. Number one, the Bible speaks concerning itself. The Bible speaks. It speaks about its nature. And let's look at this passage together in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible speaks about its nature. Where did these 66 books come from? Were they just the writings of men that have been compiled over time? Or do they have, as their author, really one author who wrote through various men? And we learn from God's Word that that is exactly what the Bible is. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, many of you might have this passage memorized, but it says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it could be translated that it is God-breathed, that God is the one who has put life in this book. And because it's the Word of God who is life, it has life. The Word of God is God-breathed. The origins of it are not from men. And we see this from 2 Peter chapter 1. As you look over there at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. The Bible says there in 2 Peter, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Now, look at verse 19. Please look at it with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says there in the first or second line, "So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed." So Peter's telling us this morning that we do well to heed the Word of God that we have before us. And he continues on in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation or of any private origin." Verse 21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So, who really wrote the Bible? God. Through who? The Holy Spirit moving through who? Men. Now, God used the personalities of men, Peter, James, John, Isaiah, Ezekiel. Boy, that Ezekiel. Jeremiah, all these different men. God moved through them, but it was the Holy Spirit who was the one primary author. You see, it's given by inspiration of God, and it's a book that's not by the will of man. But let's see also, turning back to 1 Timothy 3, that the Bible speaks concerning its usefulness. Why should I read the Bible? Why should I study the Bible? Why should that be a priority in my life? Why should I look at the plans and say, hey, this is the one I'm going to commit to this year? Why should I do that? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at a few things here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and seen and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them," verse 15, "and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." First reason, in verse 15, why should we study the Word of God? Why should we read the Word of God? Why should we teach the Word of God? Why should we do that according to verse 15? It's able to do what? Make us what? Wise unto, through who? Through salvation through Jesus Christ. Now let's go to the next one in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We all want things that are profitable, We would like to engage in an activity that would be financially profitable to us. Most of us, I don't know of anybody who just says, no, I don't want to make a little bit more money and do something that is profitable. We all want that. Here, he says here that all Scripture that is God-breathed is profitable for four things, and let's see what they are. It's profitable for doctrine. In other words, it's profitable for truth, for teaching the truth. Second, we see that it's profitable for reproof. Reproof means, listen up, I'm talking to you. It's profitable for reproof. It's also profitable for correction. In other words, it's saying, here is what you've done. It's helping us to see our sin. It's helping us to be corrected. And then fourthly, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, it's saying, here is how you should act. So the Bible doesn't just say, you've done wrong, you've done wrong, you've done wrong, and there's no hope for you. The Bible doesn't say that, but the Bible says, here's who we are as God's people, and this is what God expects of us. This is what God has called us to be and to do. And the Bible clearly states that and lays it out for us. So the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17. Does anybody see why? What will be the benefit of that? That the man of God will be what? Complete. What else? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me ask you this. Will you, as a person of God, be complete and be thoroughly equipped apart from the Word of God? No. You will not be. And the sad reality for us, man, so often is, as Christians, is we set aside the Bible. We put it on the shelf and we don't absorb it. We don't take it in. And because of that, we are not equipped and we are not complete as God is calling us to be. Now, we see several things there. Salvation, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But think about Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, the psalmist writes, and he says that the man who meditates on the law of the Lord will be like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water. Think about a huge tree and a stream of water and the roots tapping down into that water and receiving its nutrients constantly from the water. And it's the Bible says in Psalm 1 that he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water that brings forth fruit in its season. You see, the Word of God provides for us stability and security. And then we could go on to several other passages. Let's take a look at them real quickly. Look at Deuteronomy. Let's do a little scan through the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 47. Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. We're flipping over a lot more than what we normally do this morning. But Psalm 32, verse 47. And, you know, just to kind of clarify why I do some of the things that I do as far as teaching, particularly from the Old Testament. And by the way, we're planning to start in the book of Jeremiah on Sunday mornings, the first Sunday in January. And we're going to go through the book of Jeremiah probably for the entire year on Sunday morning. On Sunday night next year, we're going to do a series that I've entitled, though it's not all original with me, Rite of Malachi, book by book. So in other words, you go to Malachi, turn to the right, you're in the New Testament. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a book-by-book overview of the New Testament books on Sunday night next year. What this is doing is, I hope, and this is a passion of mine, it's my desire for you and for us, is that when you open this book, you know the basic layout of it. If it said to you, hey, turn to the book of Haggai, you automatically know in your mind, I know exactly what Haggai is about. I know when it was written. I know why he prophesied. I know all of those things. So you're not unfamiliar with it. Or if it said, turn to the book of Amos, you know a little bit about the book of Amos and you kind of know how it fits in the timeline of the Bible. The reason this is so important of having a timeline of the Bible in your mind is that when you open this book, you have confidence. You're not just kind of walking around in the dark, but you open it up and you can kind of navigate because you know how it fits into the history of Israel or the history of the church. So we come to Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. Moses has preached to Israel and they're about to go into the promised land. He's commanded them how they are to live and they've made a covenant. And then verse 47, notice this. It says, "For it is not futile, this is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess." See, folks, Moses said it's your life. You will prolong your days. We, in the New Testament church, we understand that from Genesis to Revelation, it's pointing to one person supremely. Who is that? Is the Bible pointing to? Jesus Christ. And as we open up God's Word and we study it, we read it, and we learn it, it's pointing us ultimately to our Savior Christ, from whom we find life. So this book provides for us, as much as it did for the Israelites in the Old Testament, even more so for us, because it's pointing us to Christ, who is our life. We see also, I'd like to invite you to look at Psalm 119, verse 105, a verse that all of you, many of us maybe, have memorized. Psalm 119, 105 speaks about the Bible. We see, first of all, in Deuteronomy 32 that it's our life. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible tells us that it is a lamp and a light. Because he writes there, and just picture, if you've ever walked around in the dark, who would rather walk around in the dark in really anywhere, but maybe in the woods or something, or an unfamiliar area, who would rather walk around with a light than with a just nothing? I would. Last night I had to get up out of bed. Joy had gotten up and needed a blankie or something, and I grabbed my phone and I used it as a light. And I went into their room and I helped her find what she was looking for because I had the light. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Just as surely as a parent holds up a cell phone in the middle of the night looking for whatever their children needs, so we as the people of God need to be able to hold out God's Word and say, "That's the truth, that's the way, that's the stumbling block, that's what I need to be looking for, that's where I need to go. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Y'all see that? Now let's see further that it is, we've already seen how it is for our profit. But we see also that it's discerning. It's alive. It is our judge. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And these are things that the Bible says about itself. There's much, much more that we could look at, but we'll look at just these few this morning. Hebrews 4, verse 12. This is an awesome passage of Scripture. As you think about it and kind of break it down in your mind, Hebrews 4, verse 12. We'll start at verse 11. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Listen to me, church. Please listen to me this morning. Just because you're sitting here today and you're under the preaching of the Word and you are a part of a church congregation, that does not mean that you will be in 10 years. Nothing that you're doing today is guaranteeing that you're going to be faithful in 10 years and that you'll profess Christ as Savior in 10 years. You see, it's a daily walk, and it's a daily being diligent. It's a yearly and monthly being diligent to pursue the Lord and to know Him. And it's through these things that, according to 2 Peter 1, we make our calling and election sure. And he writes here, and he says to them, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, In verse 12, there is no place that you can hide from the living Word. As you open up the Bible and we are exposed to the Word of God, you can't run and hide from it. You might deny it. You might rebel against it. You might continue in your sin. But the Word of God will expose you for who you are. And that's exactly what happened in John chapter 3 when Jesus came. They did not come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. And perhaps, maybe that's what's keeping us sometimes from coming to the Bible, is because we don't want God to really tell us who we are. But I tell you, that's what we need. That's what we need more than anything else, is to see who we are and to see who God is. You know why so many churches and we ourselves get mixed up on who man is and who God is? It's because we don't really look at the Bible to find out the information on these things. We take it from what so-and-so's taught us. We take it from what we believe. But we don't let the Word of God shape this in us. And that's what matters, because we'll be judged by His Word. It's alive. In one of the letters to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote and prayed that the Word of God would run swiftly in 2 Thessalonians 3 and be glorified just as it is in you. 1 Peter chapter 2, just a couple more and we'll wrap up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I want you to think about this. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 2, the Bible says there, as Peter writes, he says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Think about the imagery that Peter's laying out here. A newborn babe desiring the pure milk of the Word, and by that milk they grow. If you look back over your life and you say, "I haven't grown in 10 years as a Christian," don't blame it on this preacher. Or don't blame it on any other preacher. Let me tell you something. A preacher should not have to take you as a baby and burp you every day. We've got to be in the Bible ourselves. We've got to be studying the Bible ourselves. Don't you blame your spiritual lack of growth on a preacher. You will stand before Jesus Christ one day and you will give an account for what you've done with His Word. You won't be able to stand there and say, "Oh, well, brother so-and-so, he didn't." Couldn't you read? Did you have a copy of the Bible? See, we've got to desire it. Why don't you want it? Why don't we want it? Why don't we desire it? And he says in verse 3, "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." What a powerful passage of Scripture as we think about tasting, seeing that the Lord is gracious, and now desiring His Word more and more. And finally, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. We'll conclude with this one. Acts 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 20, and verse... It's actually verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul writing to the elders in Ephesus, he says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." In other words, he's saying, this is what I recommend to you. This is what I commend you to. I give you to this. He says, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." You see, the word of God builds us up. Now, there is benefit, and in the future, there is benefit from the inheritance which we receive through being a follower of God and knowing Him through His Word, through the Word of grace. this morning, I pray that from these passages we see that the Word of God is valuable to us as believers. We see it speaks of its nature, it speaks of its usefulness, and it speaks of its endurance. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. This morning I want to remind you that really all the Bible books of the Bible, all 66, all 1,189 chapters, all of the Word of God is pointing us to Christ. We don't just study the Word so that we can just be able to quote passages. We do it so that we can know our Savior, so that we can know God. This morning I ask you, have you come to know Christ? Have you come to know Him as your Savior? The Bible tells us in Acts 20 that two things are necessary: repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, have you repented and you turned from changed your mind about your sin and about God, and you've repented toward Him? And have you repented toward Christ, in that you are now fleeing to Jesus, who is the refuge of your soul and the anchor of your soul? Do you run to Him this morning in faith? If so, that's what God calls salvation. Let's pray together. I'd like to ask you just to think about your walk with the Lord. Think about your commitment to Him, how that will be displayed in 2018 by His grace and in your commitment to His Word. And Lord, we pray today that we would see the goodness of Your Word. Lord, that we would be so determined, just like Jacob was determined to not let You go until You blessed him. Lord, I pray that we would be determined when we come to Your Word to not let it go, to not let You go until You bless us. And Lord, until You build us up, until You give us an inheritance among those who are being sanctified, Lord, please give us determination and diligence, and really, Lord, a love for You, a hunger and a thirsting for righteousness. Thank You for testimonies of faithfulness to Your Word. And God, we pray that You'll grow us up into a people now that You called us to be. We pray, Father, for those who realize that all the Bible's pointing to Jesus, that He's the primary character. We pray, God, that they would be able to come to Christ in faith. Give them grace, Lord, to believe the gospel and be saved even today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.